And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah and in chapter 43. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, again, we've opened thy love letter, so we're looking to you to deal with us according to your grace, according to your mercy, according to your glorious person. And our Father will thank you very much for your word, for understanding, and God, to exercise that understanding in the outworking of our relationship to you. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of 1 John, you would remember now that it's talking about having a unique, personal relationship to God. We are to be in fellowship with the Father and with the Son. By way of God, the Holy Spirit, we're to enjoy a very personal relationship to God in a very personal way. Now, so therefore, when you look at Israel, Israel was taken. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had a very personal relationship to God. Moses comes along to raise up the nation of Israel, to have and show that very personal relationship to God in a very personal way. So when, as you would know, we don't have to turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 4, etc., Israel's assignment is to go to the to be a center, a lighthouse in the middle of, by way of Jerusalem, a lighthouse for the whole world to see. To see what? To see what God, why God has created us, and to know him. And so Israel was there, and that's what, that lighthouse, and they were to know him. The nations are there. They weren't sent to the nations. They were sent and situated into the middle of the land of Palestine to bear witness to God's holy person. And therefore, their main thrust for existence, chapter 43 of Isaiah, and you'll remember, going directly if I can, verse 10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that purpose you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I'm the only God. And, verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the only God and the only Savior. And you need to know my wonderful person. That's the whole point, to know him. It isn't anything about us. It isn't based on anything except our personal relationship to God, to know him in a very personal way. Now, that's 1 John. And 1 John is busy. And God gives us, in the five chapters, a wonderful exercise to make sure you understand that truth. I want you to be able to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son in these earthly bodies. So we walk, verse 7, in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we walk showing his awesome person. Now, just to go through and lock that in, if I may, in the light of that, you would keep, see if I'm all right. God created us humans in a most wonderful way, and we're to know him. God made us not like fish, not like birds. He made us in his image and likeness. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. He made us so that when God would look at us, he would be able to see himself, to find himself, so that we could glorify him in a most wonderful way, because he would have such a relationship to us humans that the world, everyone would see God's wonderful person in our little old persons. Now, and therefore, the Lamb of God was slain, and the Lord Jesus Christ, when Adam and Eve sinned, and they're naked, God covered them with a coat of skin. He did the killing, he did the preparing, and he gave them coats of skin to cover their nakedness. Jesus did that. What was he doing? He's pointing to Calvary's cross, the seed of the woman. God had to die on Calvary's cross in a most wonderful way. Now, so therefore we jump ahead, and God had to die. How could he possibly die when he's God? He can't. But when he takes on us, takes on a human house like us, of flesh and blood, born in Bethlehem of Judea, John 1:14 says it straightway. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God. You read it in John chapter 14. God in the babe. Baby. God in the baby to grow and to know and to show what? That he was the perfect one to take care of the sin of the world. The sinless Son of God, he would go to the cross and die. Now what? So we got that. No question to have that. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to, John 1:12, receive him as our Lord and Savior. That's what we're supposed to do. Humans, you need to receive him. You need to have that unique personal relationship to God. That's what he said. In a most wonderful, wonderful, simple way. So therefore, keeping that in mind, over in John chapter 14, if you can again, reminding yourself, even though you just read it, John chapter 14, and he's going to go, as you've seen me, you've seen the Father, as you read in verse 9. Now, sliding over, if I can, to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, is this a relationship, a personal relationship that God would make his wonderful person known and to be enjoyed by a human being? God said, if you believe and keep my word, I'm going to go and make you to understand my wonderful presence, and I will manifest, make myself known. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So I'm going to show the person, the believing heart, I'm going to show the believing heart who I am. I'm going to find my home in them. Didn't know anything else? You expect what? He's going to find a home in the human heart. You want to know what's it all about? God died on the cross to find himself in your life. Simple. You can go all over the place with a thousand different ways, but that's just what it is. To find a home in your heart. Now, and the word abode, has to do with the word to abide. Now to abide, my abiding place, a habitation, a dwelling place. I want to find myself a home in your heart, a dwelling. I want to do that. And to tie that, John chapter 14, as you would know, here's the same little word, John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's the same word as abode. Abode, to abide, habitation, to dwell, mansions. I want to find my home in your heart, and that you would know your home in my heart. I want to be in your place, in your heart. And I'm looking forward to have you find your place in my holy heaven. That's what I'm looking for. Got that? All of it's very personal, very simple, very wonderful. That's all you have to do. Now, and to do that now, lock it in, over to the book of Revelation. And in Revelation, in chapter 3, and in Revelation chapter 3, picking up if I may, and Laodicea, remember the end of the church age, the church is our churches, and his church is sort of put aside. The gold is gone. Gold is gone. The churches that were to be of gold, the gold disappeared. God disappeared, and we got the churches, our churches. That's what we got. We got our churches. And there's really no place for such a personal relationship to God in the system. In that, what do you mean personal? It's a total, all wonderful, consuming, taking your little living, your life, and finding it in his life. Now, where is your life? In his life. Where's your will? In his will. Where is your work day? In his life. The outworking of the relationship is to be total. Hang on. Now, and therefore, the church in Laodicea, the end of church history where we are now, and you slide over to verse 20. Chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now you have to guess. And if any man, woman, boy, or girl, hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him or her and will sup with him, and he will sup with me. I'm going to go. I'm looking to find what? I'm looking to find my place in the human heart. That's what it's about. I have my rightful place in the human heart in a very awesome kind of way. And I want you to know I'm knocking at the door, not at the door, not at the building. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. That's where I'm knocking. I'm missing. What are you missing, God? I look at you and I don't find myself. I don't find myself in here. Hang on. That's simple. That's all about. So, and that relationship, like we read in John 14, in my Father's house and many mansions, abiding places. So what are you doing, God? This relationship, if I open the door, John 1:12, as opened door, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege to be what? To become children of God. And when you receive him as your Savior, God said, I have a wonderful place in my holy, happy heaven. Now, Revelation. If any man open the door, man or woman, boy or girl, and receive me as my as your Savior. I'm the only Savior. Isaiah 43:11. I'm the only Savior, and I'm the only God. And if you receive me as your Savior, if you do, Revelation 3:20, then what? Not only will we have sup the main meal of the day, we'll have a wonderful fellowship, supper together. We'll have supper together. And, verse 21, and to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am overcame and am set with my Father, down with my Father in his throne. John 14:1, in my Father's house are many mansions. What do you say it again? Verse 21, you're going to go and sit down on my throne. Whose throne? My throne. You're going to be seated in heavenly places. That's what you're going to do. Sit down on my throne. That's what you're going to do. It's a relationship, a personal relationship here, a personal relationship there, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, 1 John, right next door, 1 John, and in chapter 2, you remember, what was the whole point? The whole point is to drive home, as we did all these things, to drive home what? That when you receive Christ as your Savior, John chapter 14, 9, 10, 11, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and my Father, John 10, 30, I and my Father are one. One. One God in essence, nature, being. Father, Son, the Spirit of God. When you receive me as your Savior, when you receive me and trusted me, you received who I am, God. Chapter 4, 1 John, verse 2. Hereby we know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist that already existed, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world, the spirit of Antichrist. Well, what are you talking about? When you back over, look at verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. God, I'll read it again, because it may be wrong. Verse 15. God dwelleth in him, and he, the believing heart, in God. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Christ, God, Christ in you, God. So what did you do? When you received the Lord Jesus Christ, you received God. God. How can you have Christ without God? You can't. You can't. So when I received him, it's a very personal, awesome, wonderful relationship in the presence of God in which we are. God, in your wonderful person, you made it possible for us to have a unique relationship to you in a most wonderful way. As humans, you didn't create angels like that. No, I didn't. No. Angels are spirit beings. They never die. Never die. But, and they're made. They have right to choose, and they chose negatively. Some chose positively. And the good guys and the bad guys are going to honor God. They honor God, his glorious person, in a most wonderful, eternal way. But they can never have what you have. God didn't make angels like that. God didn't make cows, chickens, birds, bugs, and whales And tuna fish. The tuna fish, yeah. A tuna fish you eat. You get the idea. God didn't make them. They're here today, and what? They're all going. The only thing God's saving, a planet of history, is you. He created you to know him in a most awesome, wonderful way. You remain. That's why you have either eternal life or eternal death, but you have one or the other. You are meant to stay forever. God created you like that. Now, having said that, and so you need to keep that. It's made for humans in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And you know in the Old Testament, without turning there, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, 20, I counsel you to what? To take of the relationship. I gave you blessing or cursing, life or death in that sense. And I want you to choose life. Verse 20, life is an awesome relationship that lasts as long, God said, as I do. You have eternal life. I want you to know me. That's for Israel. That's for Israel. Nothing's changed, just different. Different. Because Israel's supposed to know him in a wonderful, wonderful way. And Jeremiah 32 and all of that, which you know, all of that. God is going to made a wonderful covenant with them. God saves them. Spirit of God's going to put his wonderful life in them in a wonderful way. They're going to have an awesome relationship to God for eternity. That's awesome. But yours is different. Yep, it's different because God is doing something wonderful in a wonderful way in the grace of God to save us and do a wonderful thing in our little old heart and life. So, now you got that? Are you getting a little bit? Let's see what it is. So we don't get it all complicated. And you got to get simple. God created us to know us, to find himself, an ever-present help, an ever-present God, to have fellowship with him, to be able to know him, to be able to say with Thomas, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my Savior, my Father, to be able to say it. Now, overview of Romans chapter 6. You know all these things. All I'm doing is reminding me and us, guys, girls, all we're doing is trying to understand what did he say, and so that we understand the consistency of the whole thing. It isn't four different kinds of things. It's one awesome personal relationship to God that you're supposed to have. We aren't supposed to just sit in church like a club. It isn't a club. Church isn't a club. It isn't a social group. It isn't here. We aren't running a school. No, we're running a life. We're supposed to be here because we're seeking, because we believe, and allowing God to be God. And we assemble ourselves together, which is the word church. We assemble ourselves together in order to what? To learn an exercise of our relationship and to enjoy the relationship to God and to each other. Now, chapter 6, I'll watch it again. See if it's still there. John chapter 6. And you know Christ's death and the gospel, the good news. Christ died, according to scriptures, buried, according to scriptures, risen again, according to scriptures, so we never get confused on who he is. And therefore, what did he do? Remember Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman? God made a promise, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So here in chapter 6 and in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him. Well, I read verse 5. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, placed into, immersed into, identified with unto Jesus Christ, we're baptized, identified into, and having the same thing. The sword baptism. The sword, I say, because that's where it was used. The Roman soldiers going, you don't need all that. The sword. The sword goes into the bucket of blood, the enemy's blood, and the sword comes up, and the sword is covered with the blood. God baptizes us into his wonderful person. So when we come up out, what do you see? To see the blood and the sword, you see Christ. He baptized you into Christ. Placed you into Christ. There's the Christ. Now, verse 4. Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, live, exercise our behavior in newness of life, in a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God, in newness of life. We're to enjoy God's wonderful life in new. It's all new. Nothing old. It's all new. And therefore, you know, and verse 5, for the life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of a death, he took our sin in his own body on the tree. On the tree he died, taking my sin, your sin, the penalty of sin, the wages of sin is death. Christ took our sin and died and paid the price, the penalty. And so, verse 5, likewise in the likeness of his death, we have to be then the cross. What is the gospel? He was crucified, buried, and rose again. If we're in his death, we're in his burial, we're in his resurrection. Therefore, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so the life we have is his. God gives us a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God to know his life in a most wonderful way. And what are we going to do? Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. Now, since he rose again and we have his life, we have newness of life. Newness of life. Verse 11, likewise reckon, calculate, compute ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We reckon it so. God did it. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't do it. God did it. And all I can do is thank him for doing it. I didn't do a thing. I just received him as my Savior. I opened the door of my heart, and he came in. And he did what? He brought to me that which he made possible when he died. He brought to me himself. That's my life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, you did that in a most wonderful way to walk in newness of life. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, just to keep you busy. 2 Corinthians 5. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, 5:17, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, it's used 80 times by the Apostle Paul. In Christ. Where are you? In Christ. What is it about? Being in Christ. Whatever you do, it's a unique relationship to his person in a very personal way. Not an oh-hum way. Oh-hum. No. No, but it's where it is. That's what he's looking for. Now, so therefore, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, when did that happen? The moment you received him. So God gave you his wonderful person and presence in your life. You received him as your Savior, and you have the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brings you his wonderful person, his wonderful life. He brings you his life. How did you get his life? What do you mean, his life? You have a unique relationship to God. That's what it means. A very personal, unique relationship to Almighty God in a very personal way. But I can't see him. No. No, you can't. I'm going to touch that. Hang on. Now, so it's a new creature in Christ. And in the process of that. And you know, 2 Thessalonians, all kinds of ways. I'm just going to show it. You know it. How can you read your Bible and not see it? 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. And you'll notice, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, sliding down the light of the context, verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, where? In you. And you in him. He is in you, and you is in him. You're in him. That's why you're saved. You have an old nature. Your old nature is a pain in the neck. You can't get rid of it till you die. You got it from Adam. And so we have to live with it. It's our old nature. It's us. But God has given us a unique relationship to his wonderful person. And we're to exercise that wonderful person in a most awesome kind of way, in a very personal way, so that we go and what? God, we have an extraordinary relationship to Almighty God, so that we can live what? So that we can take the extraordinary relationship and show it to the world in an ordinary way. So 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether eating or drinking, do all to the glory of God in an ordinary way. That's what I'm going to show the world. The world needs to know that I am the only God and the only Savior, and they need to be saved. I died for them. And they may play religious games and do all kinds of things, but where is their personal relationship to God? That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for 1 John chapter 4, and then don't just turn there. 1 John 4, what are you looking for? Is God in your heart? Not is G-O-D, three little letters that our English language couldn't even touch to explain. G-O-D. Make it simpler. What did you say, Moses? Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. I am who I am. Now, how do you explain that? Who I am. You're right. There is no language. I'm God. Now, and therefore, I'll read verse 12 again. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, in him, in you, God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful grace. 1 John, back over to 1 John, and in chapter 3. And remember, here's the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. But that isn't how God, that's how we think about it. But it isn't how, but it's a whole other window to see that, a whole other way to see it. No, we're not looking, do this, don't do that. 600 and something things, don't do, don't. No, that isn't about works. Works. It isn't about your works. It's about your relationship. And therefore, to translate it, as we did when we did 1 John chapter 3, we did all this. But going, if I can, to verse 23. And this is his commandment. Now, what's the commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that's the Exodus chapter 20. But this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. We should believe him and receive him as our Savior and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's what he said. I want you to know. It's a relationship to God in a most one. It isn't a church building relationship. It's a personal relationship to God in the deepest and highest way I could ever say. Well, I have one, you have. We all have one to our body. Our body houses us. We live inside this body. But this body, 1 Corinthians 15:50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this has to go. But in the process, we have a unique relationship to him who's done what? He's going to give you a new body. Like what? Like his body. The church is his body, and therefore it bears witness, is to bear witness to his wonderful person. And verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. The believing heart is dwelling in God. And then at verse 24, and he, God, is two little words, in him. In him. It's a relationship. It's repeated page after page in some form. You'd never know it out here because we don't even, with God, where is he? I don't know. We'll pray. Pray to God. See, people want to pray to God. We're to know him. And in knowing him, show him. Knowing him, show him. How? Because you know him. He's my Father. He's our Father, our Savior. There's nothing to say about it. And if I say he isn't my Savior, as you know from John, I insult him. I'm not going to insult God. But boy, you're a lousy old sinner. Yes, I am. Absolutely. Absolutely. Who says you're saved? God says I'm saved. I received him as my Savior, like you guys. I'm saved. If I say, like our Lord said, the Lord said, if I do not tell you who I am, I make God look like a fool. I am who I am. I am God. I cannot kid you. It isn't. It's just a truth. I'm God. I'm saved. I have a unique relationship to God. I ought to be knowing it and then showing it in the sense that I'm saved. I don't have to hunt for God. I have to look for God. We're never out of his presence, and he never finds your heart. Angels look at you, and they never see you if you're saved. They never see you without Christ. That's why they know the difference in demon possession. They know the difference, you know. Angels know who is saved and who isn't. So God, what are you talking about? I want you to have this unique relationship to God. Over to see. You know it, chapter 4, but I'm just trying to give you an overview to just remind you. Because the next shot we have at 1 John, he's going to make it so simple, and it's just going to say simple things 25 different times to tell you what you want to be. You want to have, where is your unique personal relationship to God? Where is it? That's all I want to know. So, but I'm reminding you, we're supposed to have a personal relationship to God. So therefore, if you would, Colossians, all of these things you know better than I do. Colossians, and in chapter 1, Colossians 1, and you will note, and going, just let it keep saying it to you, it's just what it says. The mystery, chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, I-N, Y-O-U. You keep saying it.
Yeah.
You keep saying it. You too. In you. We're not talking about over here. I'm talking about you. That's why I don't feel it. God didn't ask me to feel it. He asked me to believe it. Do you feel yourself inside? Can you tell me now, as you, here's your liver, heart, and all these different things bubbling away, doing what they do. Now, if I go, there's no way. You live in your body, and you know that if I were to cut off your hand, you're still in the body. The hand's missing, but not you. The body, you can take it all away, and take the body away, and you're still you. Yeah. I live in the body, and God lives in my heart, and I live in his. As simple as that. And as you know, see if I can do it. Whoops. Oh, I do. Bear with me. They try to make this neat underneath here. Neat, you know, put everything in order. And when it's in order, where is it? So, I know it's workman, I bless God, and you probably have a drawer at home like that. I don't get sidetracked, drawer at home like that. And you put stuff in a drawer, because you're working with it, right? And I watch workmen work, they're working, the plumbers, whatever they're doing, and carpenters, and they, what do they do? They screwdrivers, and they throw them in a bucket, they take things out of the screws, and different things, they throw them in. And the thing's a collection of everything. So when they want something, they just go look in and find whatever it is in the bucket. If anyone ever sat down and put it all in order for them, they could never find it. But they throw it all in there for the order. That's sidetracked. Anyway, God, in your wonderful grace. Oh, yes. Wonderful grace. You know all this. It's worth. Here you are. Here you are, and you need to receive Christ as your Savior. Got that? And that's you. Now, and here you are again, here you are, Christ your Savior, and it's all in God. This is true. This is real right now. God in Christ in me. Colossians 1:27. And God and me in Christ in God. So where am I? Smack dab in the middle of God. That's why you have an old nature. How do you handle it? You don't excuse it. You don't write a book about it. You reckon it dead. Calculate. I finish with it. I put you in my son. In my son. You have a wonderful relationship to me. So I, right now, the believing heart is smack dab in the middle of you, God. And you are smack dab in the middle of us. And yes, that's why you're saved. That's why you're saved. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And would you note, if I may, Colossians 3, picking up at verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Because you're a new creature in Christ, seated in heavenly places. And therefore set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That's right. You have a unique, awesome relationship to God. For reason, you are dead. That doesn't mean we aren't walking around. Christ died for us and paid the penalty. And as long as we're in this body, we carry the old nature everywhere we go. That's what we do. And your life is where? Hid with Christ in God. That's where it is. You don't need to be a genius. It's just there. It's in the relationship that you have. Now, wonderful. And therefore, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory in a most wonderful way. So in Christ, God is able to go and be loving us, sin. Now back to the user one ahead. Being in God, Christ, and God saves you in a wonderful way, and you're in Christ, God. Is gone. Now, God, you are perfect. That's right. You have to be perfect. You're wonderfully, wonderfully saved. How can you be in Christ? That's right. How can you be in Christ, in God? That's why you're saved. That's why we don't have a problem with the sin nature. That's why we reckon and calculate. It's all finished. We don't work at it. It's done. It's a done-did thing. Don't do it. Don't help them. What do we know about sin in our life? And we do all, you can sin and no sin. You can't have any sin and be saved, could you? Why are you saved? Because Jesus Christ took all your sin. And where are you found? In Christ. Where's Christ found? In God. And so you need to talk about it from heaven's point of view. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. You're dead. Reckon it so. Your life is in Christ. That's a fact. You're a new creature. You're brand new. There's no back and forth with this. It's a done-did thing. Finished. And don't play with it. We're going to talk about sin. What are we going to do about sin? But thank God he took care of it. And we're to reckon it so. We have to say, what are you after, God? I got to quit. What are you after? You're after the fellowship. You're after the wonderful, wonderful relationship we're to have. Over to 1 John. And you will note, 1 John, relationship, walking by faith. What do you want? 1 John's going to tell you, 1 John, that's what's 1 John written for? Why did you give us the epistle of John, the last living apostle? John, chapter 1, 1 John, chapter 1, sliding down to verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. What's the purpose? What are you writing this for? That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship, Fellowship has to include God. If you can use friendship lots, but don't use fellowship. Fellowship means God's in the conversation. God's in it. It isn't just us having lunch together, which is good, fine. God has to be understood. He's sitting at the table. Fellowship. For our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And why are you writing and telling us this? We are writing these things unto you, verse 4, that your joy might be full, that you'd relax. Thank God you can get saved and be saved in God's wonderful saving grace. And thus, God, and what are we going to do with all our worries and wants and frustrations? We got to go to work, we got to go to school, we got to go to whatever we're doing. We're trying to work out in our human body, among humans. We're trying to work it all out. What are we going to do? We're supposed to have fellowship, and it's wonderful. Yes, it is. Therefore, how am I going to enjoy it? Verse 7, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, no, we aren't saying that. We aren't saying it. We have our old nature, and we all of that, all that we're up against and we see is real. But as we're trusting God in Christ, in our heart, God is taking care. Christ died on the cross to take care of every hour, of every minute, of every day, till he takes you home. And you're to do that, and you're to walk in the light. And therefore, you can worry up to here. You can fret, fume, and fuss, and do all that you want to do about life, and hate, do it. When you're all done, you look to God, and everything that he's done for you is already done. Nothing changed. And I didn't have to do that. When I go to bed, any of you go to bed somewhere, you sleep on something, and you don't worry about it, you'll worry about it. Where I keep feeling the mattress. Is the mattress there? Is the mattress there? And I push in the mattress. I wonder if the mattress is holding. I got a mattress holding. What's it? Does the mattress care? What does the mattress care? No. That's all. I'm stupid. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm wrestling with the bed, worried about the bed, worried about the things in my life. And the bed's never for 1 second during the whole night. Was it ever worried? The bed just enjoyed being a bed. God just delights in being who he is, and you're resting in him. Now either you rest or you don't. They say, I don't want to rest, I want to worry. Then go ahead. I want to fret, go ahead. Go ahead. Good for you. Let's see how much sleep you get. You got the idea? I'm sorry I drifted, but hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to get you to see, and there's no way, because it's such a real and simple truth. That's the hope. Listen for my little bit of journey through time. That's the real issue. Ministers, bishops, whatever you want to do, pastors, whatever you want to do, preaching, that's the real issue. And we do everything but this. Because we can. This is so overwhelming and wonderful. Your old nature doesn't want to ever know it. And that's what it's all about. Yeah. And we're robbed because of our stupidity. Not you guys, of course. And our stubbornness. Stupid and stubborn. Those good words? Yeah. Wow. Anyway, I hope I help. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word and your grace. Even now, God, Spirit of God, what can we say? Only you can help us with this, because it's way, way, way beyond us. And it's too much, too wonderful. And yet it is so. The reality of newness of life, your life. Thank you very much. Thank you for being found in your Son, that we might be found. So as you look at us, our Father, you see your Son, and thus we are sons in your Son. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.